What's up, Pitt fans? Welcome back to another Pitt Mailbag here at the Post Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. He is Christopher Carter. I am Noah Hiles. Chris, we're halfway through training camp. Woo! We're halfway through. In a couple of weeks, college football will be back. The NFL will be back shortly after. Football, it's really happening. I feel like we say it every week, like it's getting closer and closer. But I mean, with preseason going on, with week zero quickly approaching, camp being halfway over just seems crazy to me.
It does.
But that's the truth of the matter. I mean, in a couple of weeks, camp will be wrapped up. Players will be moving out of their hotels and back to where they live on campus or off campus. And we'll be talking Pitt-Wofford, the matchup of the year that everyone is excited to hear about. But yeah, that's really all I have for that. There's obviously a lot going on. A pretty eventful week last week for Pitt Athletics on numerous fronts. There was training camp. There was basketball playing internationally. And of course, there was some major NIL news, which is where we're going to start the show this week. And we'll start with a question from Joe. With the football team taken care of, can we expect Alliance 412 to reach a similar agreement with the basketball team in the near future? Now, for those who are watching, listening, reading that aren't familiar with what Joe is alluding to, last week, Alliance 412 announced, I believe it was Thursday, a team-wide deal with each of the 85 scholarship players on Pitt football's roster, where they'll receive a monthly number or a monthly income. It's a tier-based income process there, but it's a seven-figure annual deal. Every scholarship player will be getting five figures of income annually. So it's a big thing. It's something you don't really see in the world of college sports. And that paired with their Oakland Originals announcement that happened earlier in the week. I believe that came out on Tuesday. It's some pretty innovative stuff that Pitt's Preferred Collective's doing right now. So Joe wants to know, you know, with that team deal in mind, do we see that happening with other Pitt teams in the future? I'll start this one, Carter, by just saying,
yeah,
expect it. There hasn't been anything officially announced. I wouldn't expect it in the near future, because based on everything that I've heard from people that we've got to know at Alliance 412, from just other sources, the focus right now, as far as announcements, is going to be on football stuff. There might be more football related things. There might be events. I don't know the specifics. But it seems like until the football season starts, any type of NIL announcement to come out of Alliance 412 is probably going to be connected more to the football program than any other team. But I you would have to assume if they could reach a deal with an 85-man roster, that reaching a deal with a 14-man roster is not going to be that difficult. Right, Carter?
This is a foregone conclusion, in my opinion. I think the football team was the big deal, because if they can get that one across, then they can get the basketball one across. And let's face it, I think Chris Bickle, who, you know, he's the guy that's behind all of it, right? Like he's the man who's you know, really bringing a lot to Pitt. He made that $20 million donation, you know, a year or two ago. So he's been behind it. He's been about the football team. So it's going to be there first, but he wants to see basketball succeed, as does Pitt and Alliance 412. And those are the two moneymakers. If Pitt, you know, Pitt volleyball, it's awesome that they're successful. Pitt soccer teams, it's awesome that they're successful. But they can win back-to-back five championships in a row each sport. It won't matter if football and basketball are bad. And they need those programs to be your moneymakers. So This I think this is a very competitive idea on the football side. Do that in basketball, I think it adds to that as well. And maybe we see a comeuppance in Pitt. And, you know, I'm not saying they're going to be banging with the big dogs in both sports, but maybe stuff like this can help them get a leg up when they're recruiting and trying to keep players for the long term.
And to build off of what you said, Carter, on the note of football and basketball being more significant, you can compete in college volleyball or college soccer without having a great NIL collective.
But in
football and men's college basketball, if you do not have an established collective, you don't have a real chance. Yeah. I mean, there's granted, you could get lucky and a whole bunch of guys commit to you for whatever reason, or you could have an amazing coaching staff. But man, just looking at what it takes to be a competitive basketball and football team in today's landscape, you need something. So that's why I think the focus as far as team deals goes, will go toward football and basketball first. It's because that's what's needed in that sports landscape to compete, where volleyball, it's not as prevalent. NIL isn't, or soccer or wrestling. Sure, there are players that have NIL deals. I think the highest endorsement NIL athlete is a gymnast.
Yeah.
It's Livvy Dunn, but a lot of her, that, I mean, she's probably getting something from LSU's collective, but a lot of her money comes from brand deals because she has millions of followers on social media.
Yeah.
So that's the difference there. And I think the other reason why it's going to be football focused here, Carter, is because A, the football season's coming up, and B, I think Alliance 412's goal is, you've seen, they've been tweeting and posting on social media about their donor tiers, how everyone can kind of become a donor. They're hoping that this news takes off, which it has, and that others will see it and want to get involved, and it will be easier based on new donors joining in on the charge to strike a deal with the basketball team. I think that's their focus right now, clearly, is focus on football right now. Hopefully for their sake that Pitt does well in the beginning of the season, and there's a lot of buzz and people start giving to the collective, and they're able to use that money from the football team and the hype generated from that to sprinkle over to the other teams, including basketball, which, again, this isn't anything official or breaking or whatever. It's just common sense. That's clearly the next team in line, because that's just the hierarchy of college sports. We'll move on now. Chuck wants to know. Chuck says he read somewhere that Ohio State's athletic director will be retiring at the end of the year. What are the chances Heather Like ends up leaving Pitt to head to Columbus? I'm just going to say this. I've been reporting all summer on a pretty big story about Heather Like. We talked about how happy she is at Pitt, and what she hopes to achieve at Pitt and how long she wants to stay there. I'll say that I don't think Heather's in a huge hurry to get out of Pitt, but she worked at Ohio State for a really long time.
Yeah.
So I'll let that be a little bit of a tease for a pretty big story we're going to run, hopefully by the end of the month. Just depends on how fast these fingers can type it out at this point. There's a little bit more to it than that, but yeah, we got a big story coming out on that. So keep an eye on there. We'll be talking about the subject and a couple of other things dealing with Miss Heather Like. So yeah. Carter, anything to add?
Just that I think Heather Like's still done an amazing job, and I think that she knows that she has a comfortable place here. I also think the Pitt treats her well and pays her well, as far as, you know, competitive wise in the athletic director track. But yeah, Ohio State's a whole, like, that's one of them big dogs we're talking about, right? Like they're one of the people, they're one of the or the institutions that's going to be able to come out and just their collectives are going to be on a whole other level. And so if Heather Like wants to stay at Pitt and keep building what she's built here, great for her. But I don't think she owes anybody anything after all that she's done here. She can do what she wants. I don't think that she'll necessarily leave right now, but I wouldn't be shocked if there was a major university that did grab her in the coming years.
Yeah, I mean, and who could blame her if she did leave? I mean,
she won here.
It's like if you're working in computer programming and you're working for, you know, a decent company, and all of a sudden Apple offers you to be its CEO, wouldn't you want to take that opportunity? You know, and you weigh that. But I mean, as far as gold standards go and athletic departments, find me one better than Ohio State. Across the board, they're competitive in pretty much everything.
Everything.
There's a lot of revenue that comes from that school, and they're not going away anytime soon. She's from Ohio. I mean, it would make a lot of sense. She's never told me anything about that or anything like that. I'm not saying she's completely gone, but I mean, it would make sense because she's a really good athletic director and they need one because that's a big athletic program. So we'll move on now. Jack wants to know, from what he noticed, it looked like Carlton Carrington was the best of the freshman guards during the Spain trip. Do you think that puts him in a spot to be the starting point guard over Dior Johnson and or Jalen Lowe? Carter?
I think it's a lot to be reading in on what's going on in a game in Spain in August. Like, guys, right now, that trip is about this group bonding.
Yep.
And there's so many things. We don't even see the full stats for these games. Like, we don't know. Like, we don't have an official box score. Like, this is right now these guys playing together, getting used to each other. This would be like us saying, who was the guy that started for against Western Michigan?
Nate Yarnell.
This would be like saying Nate Yarnell should start because he did great in the spring game. Like, that's not how this stuff works. Now, who knows? Carl Kitchen may be killing it, and he may become the guy this year. We've talked about that. We don't know what Dewar Johnson's going to look like. We didn't see him at all last year. Carl Carrington, Jalen Lowe, they're both new, and this is a young Panthers team. So maybe it could work out, but I would not read into what's going on over there. I think it's cool to see that they're bonding and they're building over there, and that'll help this group going into this season. But I would not read into stats or success points of international play as they're kind of just on these trips right now.
Yeah, I mean, from the information that we have, unfortunately, the Post-Gazette didn't send me out to Spain. I guess I should have asked. I didn't think that would be one that would get approved, though. So we don't even know how many points Carlton Carrington scored
right
in their first of two games. I know he scored 10 in the second game, and you look, he led the team in assists, I believe, Wednesday. I think he had 9. And he had a really solid stat line. But it's not like the other guys, from the information that we have, played poorly. I mean, Dior looked to have solid assist numbers in both games, and rebounding numbers. And again, like you said, Carter, it's August. So much can happen. We don't know who's going to be healthy at the start of the season. We don't know who's going to, you know, adjust to just two of these kids have never even been college athletes yet. Like, they've never taken a college class, or they might have taken summer classes. It's a lot different when there's 20,000 people on your campus.
Right.
And there's stuff going on. How does your body, how does your mind react to the daily, true daily grind that includes distractions and other obligations that don't exist right now? And they're going to come back from Spain, and real college life's going to begin. And we'll see how that affects all three of them. And I still think Dior is the front runner, simply because he has a year of experience under his belt, not playing, but practicing with the team. He knows what to look for when Blake Henson's running the floor, or the Diaz Graham twins are posting up, or Fetty is doing his thing. You know, he has some chemistry built with these guys.
Yeah.
And not to say that the other two don't, it's just they don't have as much. And quite frankly, also, I mean, Dior was the highest rated player out of all three of them out of high school too. So he probably has the highest ceiling out of all of them. But I mean, if it ends up being Carrington or Lowe, then that means they earned it, because there was a clear-cut favorite, and that was Johnson. And if for one reason or another Johnson loses that spot, it will be because a freshman outplayed him.
Right.
And I don't think that Jeff's flying back as we're recording this right now from Spain thinking about, oh man, I got to start a true freshman at the point. In the scrimmage on February 1st against Pitt Johnstown, not February 1st, November 1st against Pitt Johnstown. Like, I don't think that's even entered his mind yet. I'd venture to say that there are many, many weeks that still need to go by before that conversation even becomes remotely relevant right now.
I'm right with you.
Andy wants to know, this is an interesting question. It's definitely kind of a crazy one, but
I like this.
We recently saw another Pitt Panther get inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If you had to pick one current Panther to make it into Canton, who would you choose? So this is not including guys like Larry Fitzgerald and Aaron Donald and LeSean McCoy, who the first two are, I think, first ballot guys. Shady might take some time, but I think he will get in. But Pitt has like three guys that will be in the Hall of Fame probably eventually, right? But he's asking, and we can't even say someone like Kenny Pickett or Kalijah Kansi, a current guy on the 2023 roster, which is, I mean, it's essentially like, I don't even know what you're trying to find a needle in a haystack, I guess. Like the odds are that there are no Pro Football Hall of Famers on this roster.
Most college football rosters do not have a Hall of Fame.
That is correct. So, McCarter, who do you want to go with? I'll let you pick first.
This is going to sound like I'm cheating, but I'm going to follow the formula that just got one guy in. I'm going to go with a quick cornerback, and that's MJ Devonshire. His ability to return, his ability to make plays with the ball in his hands, his athleticism. I think when he goes to the combine, he's going to blow it up. I think he's going to get on with the team. I think he's going to have a little bit of a higher profile than some of the other guys that were drafted later down, like Jason Pinnock, who, by the way, is doing very well for the Giants in preseason. I think he just had another interception. They have a lot of Pitt players who were looking good in preseason over the past weekend in the NFL. But I think MJ Devonshire, if I'm going to pick one person on this roster right now, it's another Quip who knows what it takes to get to the league and knows what it takes to succeed in the league and has the resources and has talks to Darrell Revis. So I know I'm cheating there and I might have stole yours, Noah, but I felt like that was the most obvious one.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's the pick. I mean, how many Pro Football Hall of Fame is 10 now for Pitt?
Yeah, I think it's 10.
20% of them are Quips. You got that's Ditka crazy. And Revis. So, yeah. I mean, that would be the smart pick, right? You just follow the pattern. Mm-hmm. I'll go different. And when I say this, I want to make it very clear. I'm not saying this person is going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. I'm not sure he will even make it to the NFL. I just think that this player has a very high ceiling of potential for the collegiate level. And at his specific position, if you are really good at this position in college, it generally translates well to the next level. I'm going to go with Ryan Bear.
Ooh, I like that.
I think Ryan Bear, I will say this, this is the boldest claim you're going to get out of me as far as what Ryan Bear can achieve in his career. I'm not going to say he's going to be a great pro. I'm not going to say he's going to be a great professional player. But I do think Ryan Bear has the potential to be one of Pitt's like next star players. I don't know if that happens this year, but if this guy were to leave Pitt in two more years from now, as an All-American, I wouldn't be shocked.
He'd be a high pick.
Yeah, he would be a high pick. And I just think that this is a guy. I mean, how many times do we see true freshmen or redshirt freshmen really getting early playing time like this? And a guy who I think that he will start at either left guard or left tackle. It really just comes down to who plays better between Jacoby and Branson Taylor. And whomever out of those two plays better at their respective position, Bear will take the job of the other guy. So just there's that much potential. I think, and that's basically why I'm saying this answer, is I think out of everyone on Pitt's roster, if I had to bet money on who will be the highest drafted, I think Ryan Bear has the tools to be a first-round offensive lineman. So that does not mean I think he will be an offensive lineman taken in the first round. Does not mean I think he will be a great NFL pro. I just think he has potential to have a really good career at Pitt. And if he does, that could translate to something to the next level. And, you know, if I'm covering his Hall of Fame enshrinement in 30 years from now, that'd be
this
cool.
This video, yes. Like right here, like I'm calling it the 2045 Canton Hall of Fame class. That's going to be the one. I want y'all to find this video if YouTube is still around, if humans haven't burned this world up yet. But if it's out there, I want this video to be in his enshrinement video. It has to be because Noah Hiles called it.
Ryan, yeah, you know what? Me. I'm pretty sure his mom reads and comments on our stuff every now and then. So I apologize for putting this pressure on your son. I am not sitting here claiming he will be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. I want to make that very clear. I had to pick one. I'm picking him. All right. So we're moving on now. Final one. Will wants to know. I love this question too. Who ends the 2023 season with the most carries? Sebo Flemister, Daniel Carter, or Derek Davis Jr.? I'm going to go boring here. I'm going to go with Sebo Flemister simply because he and Daniel Carter are both more experienced than Davis Jr. I think we know Daniel Carter's role. He's a short yardage guy. He's the best blocker in the group. He'll be used as a fullback, although he doesn't like when you call him a fullback. Flemister, I think, is probably going to be the guy if Rodney needs a break that will probably get the first opportunity to get a whole series to himself. Now, I'm not sure if that will stay the same way by the time we reach October and November, because I think Derek Davis Jr. probably has the most talent out of all three. And if Rodney has a big year like Izzy did last year and goes to the NFL, Derek Davis Jr. could be the starting tailback on this team next year. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'd probably just go with Sebo because of his experience and his familiarity with the offense.
I like your call here because I know people are going to be like, that's chalk, man. Well, but yeah, but at the same time, you know what it is? And they preach this religiously. If you cannot protect your quarterback in the passing game, they're not going to let you get as many snaps at the running back game. And I think Derek Davis, he's doing fine there, but Sebo is used to it now. He's gotten it down. He's very solid at it, as is Rodney Hammond, as is Daniel Carter. Derek Davis, we have to see him in a game do it. I've seen all three of those guys do it and do it very, very well in games. So I think that's their leg up right now. But I will say this, Derek Davis is explosive. That dude is an athlete, and he is going to get loose. And I think that he could, if he ends up being a playmaker, you're right. He could be the big running back that comes after Rodney Hammond. But as far as who gets the most carries this year, I think it's the guy that they trusted, who's the elder statesman of the running back room. And that's Sebo. It makes a lot of sense. But watch out for Derek Davis. He could be a guy that when he comes off the bench, he gives them a different gear at the running back position.
Yeah, I would also like to make a point to say that he was probably the least fun to tackle out of those three. Well, Daniel Carter is a big dude. Yeah. Just the speed that Davis can generate in the open field with that combination of size, it wouldn't be fun. So he certainly has potential. I just think, like what we both said, the familiarity gives Sebo the edge there. I think that's all we have for today. It is Carter. Any final thoughts as we wrap up another mailbag?
Two more Saturdays, and then it's college football week, baby. I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped. We keep doing, and look, I enjoy covering training camp. We get insights. We get to break things down for y'all. But, man, there's nothing like just, like, getting up. You're just, like, ready on Saturday. You're going to go over to the stadium, and you're going to hear the tailgaters. I love walking through the tailgaters. Also, if y'all ever see us walking through, don't be afraid to say hi. Noah and I are very nice individuals.
Don't talk to me. Talk to me.
Dang! No, you don't want to talk to the Piffins. That's crazy.
No, we will gladly talk with both of you. And if you catch us after the game, we might even throw down a couple cold ones with you every now and then. So, yes, absolutely. We love chopping it up with everybody. We appreciate everyone who submits questions to these mailbags, interacts with us on Twitter, and follows along with any and all of our coverage, not just for Pitt football, but for Pitt everything and for all sports coverage. We appreciate our viewers, our listeners, and our readers. So on that note, I will give the whole closing spiel here. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Follow all of our social media accounts and keep tuned into the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel for all of your Pittsburgh sports coverage. Take care.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you enjoyed the video, please like it and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our Apple Podcast channel for more podcast content. Click below for a special deal of 99 cents for a 3-month subscription to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.